Well, welcome again this morning. As I mentioned earlier, we continue walking today through Ezekiel. And before we get started, I'd like to ask, how many of you are familiar with fog? Fog. Oh, I forgot to switch this. Like the watchman in the fog. I do enunciate poorly sometimes, don't I? I apologize. For those of you listening at home who clearly understood what I was saying, you know, no. But have you ever been out driving, walking, boating in a dangerous fog? You know, and wondered where you're going? I've had two episodes. It was interesting. When we lived in northern Idaho, because it's kind of semi-arid, they get some really serious fogs that you would not expect. And Christmas 1990, we'd driven up to Spokane, woke up, and I was like, Doreen, I left the presents 85 miles south in Moscow, so I had to drive home. And on the way home, there's a large curve on the road that's kind of banked. And when I was in that curve in the fog, I had no idea if I was up, down, sideways. It was so disorienting. The other time I was in a fog that I remember, we were out on a boat with my boss. And we couldn't see a thing. And here I am. This is awesome. I think this is really cool. My boss is freaked out. He thinks we could get killed by any sort of freighter that comes along. But I'm having a great old time because I'm ignorant of the dangers that we face. But they were two kind of crazy times. Because fog surrounds you completely. It engulfs you. And it can really endanger you. And I think that there is a spiritual fog we see settling over our land, over the world. You know, I mean, it's been happening for a while, but as I get older, I don't know if it's the old man thing in me, we haven't seen the fogginess that I would say people are surrounded by. We deny basic truths, or the world denies basic truths. At this point in time. And you're just like, how can you not see that what you're telling me is not true? But the world is convinced that they are right and that I am wrong to say that there are certain truths out there that just can't be denied. And all of these have been authored by Satan. I mean, as Jesus said, he is a murderer from the start. And it comes. This fog is a weapon of his. And it distorts our view of everything. It distorts our view of God, of the Bible, of the truth. And this deceit, it will twist our minds and our hearts if we let it. But you know, we've seen it, where people actually call evil good and good evil. Isaiah wrote about that, but you know, I didn't think I would live in such a time as this. And so we need to ask, what is our role as Christians at this time? What should we be doing? Well, as we read in Ezekiel this morning, you know, God called Ezekiel to be a watchman. And I think by extension, God calls us to be watchmen. And so we have to decide if we're up to the task or not. Because it is a hard task. But Jesus told the disciples at the Great Commission, and he told us by extension, we are to go out into the world and tell the world the truth. Tell the world about Jesus. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Let's pray. Lord, I ask you to bless these words that are spoken today. Help us, Lord, to accept the call, to reach out to people who may not even like us, who we at times don't like, Lord, but to reach out to the world around us and tell them your truth, tell them of your love, of your grace, of your mercy. And again, Lord, we thank you for this family, because it is here where we gather and we are strengthened in you, Lord, to serve you as you call us. Bless us this morning. Amen. So again, I want to read Proverbs 9, verse 10 again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Now, again, when I look at the world and what's going on out there, I mean, I am reminded, Doreen and I drove back, we heard that Four Non Blonde song from the 1990s, right? What's going on? Because it's like, wow, there are certain things in this world I don't recognize. As we read in Psalm 36 this morning, verse 1, transgression speaks to the wicked deep in his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes. And as Proverbs said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Scripture warns us what happens without the fear of God. Evil spreads, sin abounds, our society becomes more corrupt. And we see chaos breaking out in places we've never had it break out before in our world, right? I mean, one of the current examples is how we don't want to punish criminals. That's just not right. For some social good, we can't punish criminals, and then we wonder why crime abounds even more in our cities. Or it's like, you can be any gender you want, but it's like, wait a minute, our DNA determines our sex, our gender. That's it. We don't get a choice. You want to be mad at anyone, be mad at mom and dad. It's their fault you are who you are, but this is who you have been born to be. Or now we're seeing that, you know, if you play the victim, you can do anything you want in this world. And sadly, the truth of it is, if you speak out against these things, the world will come at you hard. You may risk your job, your career, your well-standing in the community, whatever, if you speak out against what the world says is true. So today's reading from Ezekiel is a very hard one. These are words that we are very uncomfortable with. But we have been called to be watchmen. Jesus called us to be salt and light in the world. We've all eaten food without salt, right? It's bland, it's tasteless, it's awful. And we've all stumbled around in the dark, right? And broken a toe, fell over something, you know, because we didn't have light in the situation. And so in a world where there is a true spiritual fog present, we are called to speak truth in these situations. Again, it's like that example I gave in Bible study this morning. I look around the world and I think, like, I'm the guy in Zoolander who's like, is everyone insane? Am I taking crazy pills? Why don't people get this? A few recent examples of where a watchman would have been good to have come to light in the last few months. The Lahaina fire, right? We're still missing hundreds of victims from that fire. And they didn't warn the people because they didn't want them running into the fire. It's like, you know, if you'd have sounded the bells, people might have been able to see, hey, there's danger over there. Maybe I should go this way. Or the Hamas attack on Israel. I mean, look at the devastation, thousands dead because there was no warning. That lone gunman who walked into the bowling alley in Maine, those people had no warning he was on his way. And those are just three recent examples from our world where a warning could have saved lives, right? Where having some heads up would have helped stop what was going on. A watchman warns others of danger, right? The failure to do so results in great loss and tragedy and destruction. So let's review what Ezekiel was told. In Ezekiel 33, it's found on page 720 again if you want to read along. Son of man, speak to your people. Say, if I bring the sword upon a land and the people take a man from among them and make him their watchman, and if he sees the sword coming upon the land and he blows the trumpet and he warns the people, then if anyone who hears a trumpet but does not take warning and the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be upon his own head, for he heard the trumpet and did not take warning. his blood shall be upon himself. For if he had taken warning, he would have saved his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, so the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any of them, that person is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. I'm not sure exactly what God intends when he said, his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. But that's a statement I would prefer not to find out the exact meaning of personally, right? It's like, it can't be good. And then he continues in verses 7 and 9. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. Now we have to admit, those are really hard, uncomfortable words to ponder as Christians, right? God calls us to speak up when we see others facing danger. We are not to be timid or cowardly. You know, one of the verses that I've always caught my attention is in Revelations 21, verses 7 and 8. Because Jesus is talking about who receives eternal life and who does not. And we read, the one who conquers will have this heritage. I will be his God, and he will be my son. But then in verse 8 we read, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Those people are commended to hell. And it has always struck me that the cowardly are listed along with all those other sins we so readily identify, don't we? The sexually immoral, the liars, the idolaters, the murderers. The cowardly are listed along them. Jesus commissioned us to be watchmen, to proclaim truth and good news to this world. In Matthew 12, 36 and 37, Jesus said, but I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Now, Tom and I have discussed this verse because we've spoken a lot of careless words over our lifetime, have we not? And we pray that the Lord is like very forgiving of them. But what kind of words do I need to speak that I sometimes don't, that the Lord may want me to have said? When we are called to speak, we're called to speak truth, even hard truths. And so much of what is going on today is a simple denial of truth. And the world does not want to hear it. Do you see a spiritual fog surrounding us? I don't know if everybody does. Some people may think I'm crazy for thinking there's one out there, but I see it. I see it imperiling people's vision of Jesus. I see truth being, or evil being called good, and good being called evil. And I do need to speak up. I think one of the signs of the spiritual fog is some of the poor theology that we see being preached these days in our churches. You know, in fact, some people we've even admired over our lifetime have been surrounded by this spiritual fog. One of them is Andy Stanley. We've done a number of his Bible studies. But recently, in a book called Irresistible, he has told his people that he preaches to unhitch their faith from the Old Testament. As a pastor, he is calling for people to ignore God's word. He says, because parts of the Old Testament are uncomfortable, are hard teachings, he says, just ignore it. Just talk of Jesus and his love. But the Old Testament, too, is God's word. Jesus pointed to the Old Testament. Jesus said, not one dot, not one iota of the law and the prophets would disappear. It's God's word. Who are we to tell folks to ignore God's word? That's a spiritual fog. That's a spiritual blindness if we start to do that. And so we read in our gospel reading today from Matthew, you are the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. Salt gives flavor. Salt is a preservative, right? Light brings health and hope and safety. Both of those things are positive in our lives, aren't they? Our calling is to be positive influence in this world, on other people's lives. In Isaiah 62:6, Isaiah wrote, on your walls, O Jerusalem, I have set a watchman. All the day and all the night, they shall never be silent. Watchmen on God's wall of truth have to be connected to him, right? We must help people to see dangers that they face. As we read in Psalm 36, the wicked have no fear of God. They have no sense. They plot transgression in their bed. Thus, they need someone to warn them, to help them see truth. Because God's steadfast love that we read about and sang about, God wants no one to perish. So the watchmen are placed to help people see the danger. You know, in the army, this is what scouts do. They help identify the enemy forces, main body of troops, their positions and their tactics, and they're to communicate it back. If they're apathetic or they fall asleep in their place as watchmen, then disaster strikes. We must be diligent as well in our work, in our faith. In 2 Timothy 2, God directs his servants on how to behave. It says, the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. They may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. God does not promise that everyone we speak truth to will hear the truth, but some will. Some will hear it. You know, there may be someone you meet in heaven one day who comes up to you and is like, thank you for speaking truth to me. Because that was the first step in my salvation and turning back to Christ. And the approach that we've taken for so long that the church is accused of is fire and brimstone, right? You're all sinners. You're all going to hell unless you repent today. And that's true, but it's not always very effective. So Paul reminds us how we're to speak to those who don't know Jesus. In Colossians 4, we read, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. We are to season our words with a salt so that they are receptive. Salt is not telling people that whatever they do is okay. It's also not fire and brimstone, right? Telling them that they're all going to hell. Salt is speaking truth in love with gentleness. But it's still a warning. Speaking with graciousness. In 1891, a man was killed at a railroad crossing one summer evening, and the railroad was sued by the relatives of the man because of negligence on the part of the watchman, they claimed. So the watchman testified at trial. Were you on duty at the crossing at the time of the accident? Yes, sir, I was. Did you have a lantern? Yes, sir, I did. Did you wave your lantern in warning? Yes, sir, several times. Having answered every question, the watchman helped a railroad company win. And so an executive came down to thank that railroad watchman. And he asked him as he was thanking him, were you ever nervous during the questioning at the trial? And the watchman said, yes. I feared that the attorney would ask, was the lantern lit? Right? Was the lantern lit? We have been called to be the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, right? People don't light a light and then hide it away. They use it to illuminate the situation. In the same way, our lantern needs to be lit. We need to be faithful in our service to Jesus. And it's hard to be a watchman in this world. It is going to be the most unappreciated job we will ever undertake, because the world does not like us. As Jesus promised, the world hated him, it will hate his followers. But he tells us to let our light shine before men so that they may know our Lord. And this is what a watchman does. Peter wrote in his first letter that all will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Every man, woman, and child will be called to give account in the last day. We're going to be held accountable to God, and it's why Jesus warned us in another part of the gospel. Watch yourselves, he said. This is to his followers. Watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of life. That day may come upon you suddenly like a trap, for it will come on... It will come on all who dwell on the whole earth. Stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. It's easy to just be like, you know, the world has made its choice. But God calls us to be salt and light in this world and to love even those who hate us enough to tell them the truth of Jesus and who he is, that he came to save the world, not condemn it. So let us take up this call. It's a call we need to take up resolutely, because again, it will not be easy. You may lose friends. You may be called certain things, bigoted, ignorant, intolerable. But we are called to speak truth in a world that so badly needs it. Let's pray. Dearest Jesus, Lord, we know that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you for that knowledge. Thank you for that truth. And Lord, help us to speak to others so that they too come to realize you are the way, the truth, and the life, and they may have the hope and the assurance that we have in you. We praise you and we thank you. Amen.